I'm just going to stop the share and stop the music. And I think I showed a different, what do you call this? There you go. I think I didn't do it the right way there, Melissa. But let me just show again the screen. There you go. There you go. I think I didn't click F5 earlier. Well, anyway, again, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, in our Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Group. Today, we have a quick Q&A question in our group with the awesome Melissa Strout, occupational therapist, the author of Dementia Behavior Journal. It is now available on Amazon. I just wanted to show that picture over there. Here she is. Melissa, go ahead and introduce yourself, where you at right now, what do you do, and then give us some tips in our group on how to actually take care of our dementia loved ones, patients with dementia. And if you are watching live in our show, please comment live. If you're watching on the replay, ladies and gentlemen, please comment replay. And if you have any questions, please ask questions in the chat right here in the Facebook group. So, again, I'm going to pass on the microphone to Melissa. Melissa, go ahead and take over.
Well, my name's Melissa, and I'm an occupational therapist, and I'm here in Northwest Florida. As Mike mentioned, I've published a book on Amazon. It's Dementia Behavior Journal, and I'm really excited about the book. Because it is a good tool to use for caregivers providing care for their loved ones. One of the major stressors that people who are caring for loved ones are behaviors. And oftentimes that is one of the main reasons that they decide to transition them to skilled nursing facilities and memory care units. So if we can help them manage the behaviors at home, their loved ones can stay home longer.
That is so true. That is so true. And before I answer some of your stuff there, I just would like to say hello to people who are going live. I see Brianna, another occupational therapist, one of our OTs here also in our group. Well, anyway, Melissa mentioned about behaviors and most of the time, there are so much behaviors in our patients who have dementia. So most of the time, it's. Can you tell us? I said most of the time, right? Can you tell us what are the common causes of behaviors for patients with dementia, or persons with dementia, Melissa?
Frequently, foremost, it actually has a lot to do with us and the caregiver and the care that we're providing to them and our reactions to the things that we see them doing.
That is so true, because most of the time the patients, our loved ones, they only react. They're reactive to our body language. They're reactive to the words that we ask them. They're reactive to the current condition because they are no longer aware of themselves. So if they see us with our eyes, with our eyebrows like this, and our arms on the waist or like this, guess what?
Okay, that's voice.
Mm-hmm. Our voice. You know, if we're like this, trying to tell, hey, mom, could you stand up? Hey, Mrs. Smith, could you go to the bathroom? Guess what? Are they going to follow? No. I mean, if I have somebody coming in, an unfamiliar face, you know, a little Filipino guy like me coming in the room, guess what? They're just going to get agitated. And most of the time, like what I always say, most of the time, it's not their behavior. It's our behavior that causes the agitation. And just recently, went to a nursing home, and I have this CNA, and she was just insisting to that patient, sit down, sit down, sit down. Guess what? We're talking right 5-10 minutes right now. I want to stand up because my back is hurting already. I mean, I'm sitting in a nice office, a comfortable office chair here. I even have a pillow here, and my back is already hurting. And imagine with our loved ones, with our patients, with our dementia patients, they have a hard time they're not comfortable in the chair. I mean, I don't feel comfortable in my chair right now, and I just want to stand up. And here comes a stranger, an unfamiliar face, telling me to sit down. I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to get mad at her. Well, of course, I'm not going to get mad at Melissa. She's very beautiful, right? But I'm going to get mad at the CNA trying to ask me to sit down, and I'm going to try to hit her. And then here you go. They tell I have behaviors. What do they do when I have behaviors? They inject.
I have a similar situation happen. A person up walking and staff didn't
really walking
because they needed supervision and they weren't, their balance wasn't good and decision making wasn't good. And I helped redirect that person. I just came up right along next to them, took their elbow, walked with them, directed the caregiver to walk ahead of us and get a chair available, and we walked to the chair and they saw the chair and they sat down because that's what chairs are for.
Simple as that, right?
I didn't have to ask them to sit. They just did it.
You know, sometimes I hear this all the time with the coaches I talk to. Sometimes common sense is not so common nowadays, and it's so hard to explain to different caregivers that we just have to learn how to direct what they really need, the patient's needs. And I myself, I get agitated too as a caregiver. And imagine I'm not even taking care of this patient 24/7, and I get mad and upset because he won't follow me. What more for a caregiver or a care partner who's actually taking care of a loved one 24/7. So, and they're just going to burn, they're just going to get tired and burn out. So can you talk us about caregiver burnout or stress?
Yeah, certainly. Caregiver burnout is very common with people who are providing care to loved ones, especially nowadays with the COVID-19 and the increased isolation that people are having. Services are cut or on hold. They're not able to get out of the house. Disruption to the habits and routines that our loved ones are used to can cause other behaviors that we might not have encountered before. And because they're new to us, we don't know how to manage them yet.
That's so true. That's so true. Well, could you tell us more about your book, how we can, well, of course, I put up the link there where we can buy it at Amazon, but could you tell us what's inside the book, or like, could you show us a sample, or like, you know, just, you know, show us like that or whatever, or.
Yeah, hold on a second here.
All right, she's getting the book. There you go. Oh, before you start going, would you mind doing a raffle?
No, I don't mind doing a raffle.
There you go. I put her on spot, ladies and gentlemen. All right, if you are watching right now, Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Group, if you want the book, we're going to do a raffle. So if you want that, if you want to be included in the raffle, comment dementia in the chat box, comment dementia, and then we're going to put you in the raffle. And then in the next Tuesday or the next few days, we're going to try to put that in a fancy computer system. I'm going to type it and print it out, right? And then we're going to do a raffle online. Lynn said, hey, Ate Lynn, we're going to raffle that book on a certain time and day. Melissa is going to do that same thing the following week or whatever when we go live. And then, you know, so for people who are watching right now, whether on the replay or on this live video, type in dementia. We will collect those people who commented there, and then we will make a special raffle for it, and then Melissa will mail it to you. All right. So, all right. That's great. Thank you, Melissa. I put you on.
That's a great idea. I didn't even think of that.
Well, I thought about it. Oh, yeah, we got it. So we're going to raffle it. All right. So could you show us the inside of that dementia behavior journal?
Well, the first page is just an introduction to the journal and why a journal would benefit somebody who is experiencing caregiving for somebody with behaviors. And it just kind of gives you pointers and tips on how to document the behaviors that you're seeing, what to document, and then it provides a space for you to document what you're seeing. And the space is actually mostly blank. I don't know about other people, but I find boxes very restricting. There's never room enough. Lines are too short. So this, I didn't want anything distracting somebody from being able to just write what's happening, what they're seeing, what they tried, who is there, what happened before, what's happening after.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I also have that Caregiver Freedom Journal, and it's very, very useful. So if you are watching right now, I want to show you the journal. I have my personal journal. You know, I have my high performance planner journal, and every day I write on it. And just today I attended a seminar, a virtual summit by Greg Todd, the SSHC, and I wrote down all my stuff there in that journal. And I even have another journal here. It's called the Freedom Journal from John Lee Dumas. And I just write stuff here, you know, and put down, you know, inspirational stuff for me to do. So as a caregiver, you need something to write on, because if you, even the Bible itself, right, Melissa, the Bible is a living word. And it's going to be only a living word because it was written. And it doesn't become a reality if you don't write it down. So you have to write down stuff. And even that in this world that we live in therapy, or in when you go to a doctor, it doesn't become a reality if the doctor doesn't write that prescription, you know. And same thing with your thoughts as a caregiver, same thing with your plans as a caregiver. It doesn't become a reality if you don't write it down. And yeah, with regards to dementia behavior, you need to write it down, which one is causing them to have behavior, if it's effective or not, and stuff like that. So would you tell us more about that, Melissa?
Yes. Once you've documented the behaviors that you're seeing, and you have something that you can look back on, and you can look for patterns in behavior, you can see, wow, this happens every day at 3 o'clock. I never noticed. Mm-hmm. And then you have information that you can use to kind of head that up before 3 o'clock. What can you do to divert that behavior before it happens and create less stress for you and less stress for the person you're helping?
Perfect. Perfect. So you see that she identified, is it the time? Is it the sundowning? Is it because the patient wants to go to work and thinking they want to go to work? Is it because they're just wet? Is it because they're just hungry? Is it because they're just thirsty? They just want to drink? Special shout out to Blender Bottle. Blender Bottle from Walmart. So, you know, is it those simple stuff? And that way you can prevent those behaviors from happening. All right, Melissa, any last special words for us? Any takeaway wisdom for us? I know you're going to go live after this, right? On your own, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just make sure that whether it's my journal or some kind of notebook, that you're writing things down. It will help you remember what you're seeing. And a lot of times, once the moment's passed, it doesn't seem as important, and you forget how intense that moment actually was for you. So you might forget to mention it at an appointment or to a care provider who is able to provide assistance to you.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, where can we reach you, Melissa? What website do you have? And I'm sure your book is available on Amazon. I put that link in this live video. Where can we reach you? Any special website that we can reach you in your practice?
Yes, I have a webpage called Functional Home OT, mm-hmm. and you can find it at www.functionalhomeot. It's all one word, .com. And I provide consult services to families and caregivers to help manage their behaviors that they are experiencing at home.
Oh, wow. Do you also do online telehealth like what I do, online consultation, or do you just do at home, or what state are you located again? Florida?
Florida. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So I can do telehealth in Florida, and also with the COVID-19, they've expanded that. So I can do telehealth in more areas. So if you reach out to me, let me know, and I can find out if that's something I can do for you guys.
Perfect. Again, functionalhomeot.com. Again, thank you very much, Melissa. She is going to you live after this because she's going to talk about more about her book, you know, all some details. She's going to give you guys three more tips on how to handle your dementia patients with behaviors, or behaviors with dementia patients. I'm running out of English because it's way past my English time, ladies and gentlemen. So again, thank you very much, Melissa, for coming over. And for those people who wants to learn more, she's going to continue it after 5 or 10 minutes after this live video. But thank you very much, Melissa. I appreciate you. But before I let you go, ladies and gentlemen, always remember the word FAST, F-A-S-T, letter F. Find friends that will push you to your next level, because you are the average of the 5 people you hang out with. So whoever you hang out with awesome people. Find associations, the Alzheimer's Association, your local dementia community. Reach out to them because they might have resources. They might have resources for you. Most of them are free, but if you want those special one-on-one coaching, reach out to Melissa. She has that telehealth platform that she can use. Reach out to her because, like what I said, you are the average of the 5 people you hang out with. What's the next letter on the word FAST? Letter A. You got to learn how to take action. Speed wins. Speed wins, especially with treating dementia and taking care of dementia. The earlier you detect dementia, the earlier you detect Alzheimer's, the faster you could, what you call this, take care of it. You know, you're not preventing it there's no treatment for Alzheimer's and dementia right now, but there is care. Until there's cure, there's a cure. So take action. Reach out to Melissa and her team and her website, functionalhomeot.com, right? Letter S, learn how to share and subscribe our channel, our podcast, or whatever we're sharing this on. Why? Because the sharing is caring. Because information is actually the way we actually give out more hope. You know, the more hope and knowledge that we give, the more people we help. Last but not least, letter T, teach it. Teach it, letter T, teach it. Why? Because when you hear it, you forget. When you see it, you remember. But when you're actually teaching it, you're actually understanding it more. And that's what Melissa's going to do with us. She's going to teach us how to be, you know, a better caregiver, care partner for your loved ones in a few minutes after this show. All right, Melissa, I will see you on the flip side, on the website, on Facebook. But I'm going to share my screen, share the music, and then we're going to sign off.